الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وآخره إتكم من النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Alhamdulillah, it's the great father and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us that we are going to pray inshallah fard salat al jummah in the fard state of fasting. As easy as Allah ta'ala is making this for us, it should be our dua that, Ya Allah, you make it easy for us to do amal on every hukum of yours, to practice every command of yours as easy as you enabled us to fast these 20 days of the month of Ramadan. You will say in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala puts His mercy and barakah in everyone. Even if you look when we pray Tarawih Salah, how many of us in any other day or any other month of the year had this ability to stand an extra nafl salah for 1 hour? Even though this is the history of our ummah was a ummah of Qiyam al-Layl. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Nabi of Qiyam al-Layl. And Sahaba were people of Qiyam al-Layl. And it wasn't just awliya ulama. All the mu'mineen for the first few centuries were people of Qiyam al-Layl, people who would be praying at night. It's our own sorrowful condition that we have reached today that we are not people who pray at night anymore. But look at this power and mercy that Allah Ta'ala puts in Ramadan, that all of a sudden, ordinary person like me and you, who had no hope, no history of such ibadah, stands up every night in Taraweeh Salah and offers 1.5 hours of extra prayer. Then this month is a month of Quran. Actually, we were supposed to be an ummah of Quran. But many of us may not have actually even read, recited much Quran in the rest of the year. The barakah again of Taraweeh Salah is that we get to the barakah of these huffaz imams. We get a nisbah with Qur'an, connection with Qur'an, we could hear the entire Qur'an. But even those people who actually do recite Qur'an throughout the year, and have read Qur'an in the year, and maybe they read one juz, one sipara a day, they finish it every month, even many of them are also unmoved and untouched by their own recitation of Qur'an outside Ramadan. But when the month of Ramadan comes, that recitation in Taraweeh or their own individual tilawah touches their heart, melts their heart. This is the barakah and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this month. So actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a lot more in this month than most of us realize. And this is what I wanted to explain briefly today. Most of us, we make a mistake, and that is that we think that Ramadan is the month of fasting. Ramadan is not the month of fasting. Fasting is the least feature. Yes, fasting is the least ingredient of this month of Ramadan. Ramadan is the month of taqwa. Ramadan is the month of rahmah. Ramadan is the month of maghfirah. Ramadan is the month of wilaya. Ramadan is the month of qurb. The fasting is done in order to get these things. And until we complete that sentence, we will never complete the mission of Ramadan. And we shouldn't teach our children this either, that Ramadan is month of fasting. And the Muslim school shouldn't put this poster up, that Ramadan is the month of fasting. Why? Because when we make a mistake, we think the only thing we had to do in this month was to stay away from food and drink and lawful relations if we are in nikah from Fajr to Maghrib. No. This month has the purpose that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And this month has the gift that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in Hadith, إِتْكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ. What does that mean? That means that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Ta'ala in the last 10 days will take people out from the fire of Jahannam. What does that mean? They're talking about believers, not non-believers. That believer, who if they had died on 19th Ramadan, if they died on 20th Ramadan after Jummah, they would have been destined for the fire of Jahannam. That's how deep they were. That whatever iman they had, whatever amal they did, even their 20 days of fasting, 20 days of Taraweeh, even that had not yet been enough to take them out of the fire of Jahannam. But as the 21st of Ramadan starts in Maghrib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts changing their name from the list of the Ahl-e Jahannam and puts their name in the ranks of the Ahl-e Jannah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. You tell me, does that have anything to do with fasting? This is something much more incredible. than just the fast. Ramadan is the month of fasting in order to get taqwa, fasting in order to get qurb, fasting in order to get Allah's mercy, fasting in order to get Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, fasting in order to change ourselves. This is the sentence you should tell the children. Then your children will keep a good watch on you. If you tell them Ramadan is the month of fasting, they'll say, okay, Father, you're fasting. You say Ramadan is the month of fasting in order to make ourselves better. They say, Father, we see you fasting, but we don't see you becoming better. You say Ramadan is the month of fasting in order to change ourselves. We say, we see you fasting, but we don't see you changing. Complete the sentence, your own children will help you complete the mission. It's not just the month of fasting. It's much, much more than that. Our Dadu Ustaz Allama Yusuf Binoy Ramtala used to say that Ramadan is the month where a person can become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, I give you dalil from Quran. He had his own special way of talking. He said, I give you dalil from Quran. How? He said, Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, why do you fast? La'allakum tattakoon. Because Allah Ta'ala has hope that because of the fasting you will get taqwa. And elsewhere Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttakoon. That who are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than the people of taqwa? So if Ramadan is month of taqwa, and taqwa equals wilayah, it means Ramadan is the month of wilayah. It's not the month in just which we fast. It's the month where we spend the whole month fasting, praying, trying, begging to Allah Ta'ala to make us His wali, His friend, His loyal lover and beloved. It's not just about fasting. It's a big mistake. Big mistake that we've made. And this is what happens to many of us, because nobody here is spending illa mashallah. 99% of you are not spending your first Ramadan. Maybe you're spending your 5th Ramadan, 10th Ramadan, 20th Ramadan. Some of you are spending your 40th Ramadan. Why haven't we changed yet? Because what we do in Ramadan, we change our schedule. We don't change ourselves. That's it. That's what Ramadan is for us. We change our schedule. We change the timings that we sleep. We change the timings that we eat. And those who are from Gujarati culture, they change their menu. Yes? They change their schedule and they change their menu. And the women folk know it. It's time for Ramadan. They take out the Ramadan menu. Ramadan ends. They put the Ramadan menu back. Person becomes the same old person they were. So Ramadan has not come for us just to change our schedule or for us to change our menu. Ramadan has come for us to change ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put features in this month of Ramadan to enable and help us to do that. It's not just the fast. Allah ta'ala has put so many things in Ramadan to make us and help us change. Sometimes we explain it to youth that Ramadan is the month of upgrade. You see, the young people, they like to have the best phone, the best laptop, and even if they have the best one, they want to upgrade this and upgrade that. Ramadan is the month of the upgrade of the iman and taqwa and haya and adab and akhlaq of the believer. It's not month of fasting. Fasting is a launching pad. Fasting was for us to take off. Have you ever seen a plane that it leaves the gate, goes around the runway, and then comes back at the gate and doesn't take off? That's what we do in Ramadan. We leave the gate, we fast, and we go right back to the gate. We don't use the fast to take off. First feature Allah Ta'ala put in this month. All of you know this already, but I want you to feel this personally, that Allah Ta'ala did this personally for me and you in order for us to get this taqwa and qurb. And we're going to make use of this feature. This is why Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya, he compiled Fazali Ramadan, means all the ahadith about the features of Ramadan. So person would use all of them to get the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First feature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed shaitan and all of the shayateen. What does this mean? So shaitan is the power of waswasa, means the stray thoughts, random thoughts, sinful thoughts, wrong thoughts, second-guessing thoughts, doubtful thoughts that we have. Now, if somebody says, I still feel those thoughts in Ramadan, what does that mean? That's a sign that shaitan was so successful on us, that now it's not just his planting those thoughts, now they've become our own thoughts. They've become ingrained in us. So we should reflect and watch over ourselves, and see how damaged these goods are, how damaged this iman has become, how damaged this haya has become, that we can have such fantasy and fantasizing thoughts. And if you're still having it in Ramadan, you should realize that. That now it's me. And Ya Allah, you have been so kind on me that you wanted me to get taqwa on this month. So you changed one reason why I don't have taqwa sometimes is because of shaitan. So you chained him. You prevented him from stopping me from taqwa. Allah Ta'ala is assisting us. It has nothing to do with the fast. We do nafil fast other time of the year. You don't need shaitan to be chained to fast. Let us try to give something more in Ramadan. Give us a boost in Ramadan for the taqwa. For the taqwa. Second feature. What's the other reason we sin? One reason is shaitan. That's a small reason. Big reason we sin is called our nafs. Big reason we sin is called our nafs. That is why we fast. The reason we fast in Ramadan is in order to control the nafs, to tame the nafs, to discipline the nafs. And me and you, many of us, we make this mistake that we eat too much from Maghrib to Fajr, and then we undo the whole effort of the fast. Let me explain to you. Once one young Sahabi, he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sahaba Ikram, may Allah Ta'ala reward and bless them, they were mukhlis, talib of their islah, means they were sincere, honest, they wanted to get fixed. They wouldn't have any hesitation. So he told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have a problem. I have overwhelming lustful desires. He was unmarried. Overwhelming lustful desires. So Sayyidina Rasulullah s.a.w. very instantly answered him, okay, you get make nikah. He instantly responded. Many of us, if your alim or sheikh tells you something and you know you can't do it, you're too embarrassed to tell them, I won't be able to do that. You think, now what am I supposed to do? He's giving me the solution. No, he instantly responded, I can't make nikah. Allahu alam, maybe he didn't have the financial ability. Instantly he said back, I can't do nikah. Instantly the Prophet responded, said, okay, you fast. This is proof that fasting has as much power as nikah to control our lustful desires, to tame our nafs. And which fast? Sayyidina Rasulullah was talking about nafil fast outside Ramadan. So if the fast outside of Ramadan has the power to control such a level of overwhelming desire that Sahabi had to go and confess it to his beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you can imagine the power that the fard fast of Ramadan has in disciplining our nafs. So we're not fasting just like that. We are fasting in order to control our nafs. How does the fast accomplish that? By making us reduce our weight and feel some hunger. Understand this, that biologically, in terms of nutrition, every human being needs certain number of calories. Let's say it's something like 3,000 calories a day. If you eat anything more than what your body physically needs, all of that energy goes to your nafs. It's as if you're hand feeding and spoon feeding your nafs when you eat more than your body needs. Can you imagine that? That the person fasts from Fajr to Maghrib, and then from Maghrib to Fajr they start eating and eating, then beyond their need, then they're feeding their nafs at night. Fasting by day to discipline their nafs, and then feeding their nafs at night. If you were to see an athlete, and you sit with him and you have breakfast with him, and he eats very restricted things, he says, because I'm training. And then you have lunch with him, and again he eats restricted things, he says, I'm training. And then you have dinner with him, and he eats everything. You say, what happened to you? I thought you said you were training. And if he says, no, my training is only for breakfast and lunch, and dinner I eat whatever I want. You will say, what kind of training is this? So Ramadan is training. The purpose of the fast is to train and discipline our nafs. And because the fast is an outward thing, there will be outward signs for this. Sign number one, you must lose weight in Ramadan. Yes? I'm being very serious with you. When Ramadan ends, your weight must be less than it was when Ramadan started. Otherwise, you did not succeed in Ramadan. You will get the reward for the fard fast, but you will not get the effect of that fast. That the effect of the fast was taqwa. You won't get the taqwa. That's what's been happening us for so many years. Because we didn't understand this. So we fasted, but we didn't get taqwa. Next year Ramadan, again we fasted, again we didn't get taqwa. Next year Ramadan, again we fasted, again we had the same nafs. Because we were overeating from Maghrib to Fajr. Now the only consolation I can give you is that I didn't come here and tell you this on the first of Ramadan. So 20 days you've gotten to do whatever you wanted. Alright? Now what I want is at least in the last 10 days you want to feel a little bit of hunger still from Maghrib to Fajr. And it's very simple because here roughly it's like a 12-hour fast. So that's half a day. So what it means is that from Maghrib to Fajr, how much should you eat? Ramadan is all about Maghrib to Fajr. Fajr to Maghrib is easy. You guys are professional fasters. You've been doing it for years. This year, make the last 10 days about Maghrib to Fajr. What you should do is eat half. half what you normally would have eaten in any other day, 24-hour day, outside Ramadan, you should eat half that amount from Maghrib to Fajr. Try that for 10 days, and then you will see how this nafs gets disciplined. Imam Ghazali Ramtaleh, he actually, in his Ayal al-Muddin, he joined these two things. He wrote a book called Kitab Kasra Shahwatin, the book on breaking the two desires. One was lustful desire, and the second was hunger. And his whole book is explaining, and people have been trained. He trained many people, and people have been trained by this book for centuries. And Ramadan is a training. It's not month of fasting. Our mistake, because we think it's month of fasting, so every Maghrib we think is Eid. Yes, every day we celebrate one Eid at Maghrib, and then we have one month and Eid at Eid day. No, you cannot think like that. You're in training. You're in training. Undoing your work. Can you imagine that laborer who sweats all day and works, and then he undoes all his effort at night. And then again in the morning he does the labor, and again at night he undoes. So don't undo the effort. This is the feature of Ramadan. Fasting not just for fasting. Fasting not for hunger and thirst. Fasting in order to train and discipline and tame the nafs. This is a mission that we should have. This is the vision we should have. And this continues after Maghrib. And in fact, the training of the nafs continues after Ramadan. But that person who trains their nafs through hunger and fasting in this month, they can keep training their nafs without having to fast all the time after this month. So we have to be watchful of these things. You see, Allah Ta'ala has commanded many things in Quran, but He doesn't always tell us the reason why. For Ramadan, He told us, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. There's a reason why you're doing this. If you fast and don't get taqwa, you didn't fulfill the objective. It's a goal-oriented mission. So we have to make this month not just a month of fasting. Month of taqwa, month of wilaya, month of qurb. Then Allah Ta'ala put another feature in this month, that He increases the rate of everything that we do. And these are things you would have heard probably already, but I want you to understand what this means. So one fard, Allah Ta'ala will treat it as 70 fard. Why? Well, maybe there's some young man who didn't even pray Fajr all year round, but now he shows up in Ramadan, and he decides to fast Ramadan, and he decides to pray Fajr Salah. So let's say he prays the whole month, he would have only gotten 30. Allah Ta'ala says, no, this is my month of mercy. So he prayed Fajr 30 times, but I will multiply it 70 times. That's 2,100 Fajr reward I will give him. It will be means as if he prayed Fajr for 6 years, even though he just prayed for 1 month. Allah is trying to help us. It has nothing to do with fasting. Allah is trying to give qurb to that person who shows up in Ramadan. You prayed 1 month, Allah says, I give you 6 months of qurb, 6 years of qurb. Allahu Akbar. Yes, whenever we do any ibadah, two things happen. One is you get the ajr sawab, the reward. It's written in your book of deeds, you get the deed. Second is what is called qurb, mahbubiyya. Allah Ta'ala loves you for doing that act. So what does it mean? If you had prayed Fajr, Allah Ta'ala will love you. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the Sahih Hadith Qudsi, that's in Bukhari Muslim, long hadith. But in that, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah Ta'ala says, that my servant comes close to me, يَتَقَرُّبُ عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي. My slave comes closer to me with nothing more beloved to me than what I have made fard upon them. The most belovedness we get to Allah Ta'ala is when we do something that's fard. So now when you do one fard, however much Allah Ta'ala would have loved you for praying one fajr before Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala will love you 70 times more love you will get for every fard. Why? Because this is the month of qurb, it's not the month of fasting. What does this have to do with fasting? Making fard equal 70 times. It's the month of qurb, month where a person is supposed to get closer, intimately near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And it's not just for prayers, it's for everything that's fard. It means hukukul ibad, it means speaking the truth, it means our adab and our akhlaq, it means sabr and shukr, it means being a good husband. Being a husband is also fard. Yes, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I'm the best of you. To this, Allah Ta'ala, the best of you in Allah Ta'ala's regard is the one who is the best to his spouse. And then he said, and I'm the best of you to your spouses. So, what does it mean? If you were good to your wife, Allah Ta'ala would have loved you for that. If you start being good to her in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala will love you 70 times more. Allahu Akbar. And this is what we are supposed to want. The person who's fasting in Ramadan, this is their dream. that in this, the rest of the month, I was the lover and beloved of the dunya. I was the lover and beloved of makhluk creation. This is the month where I am trying to become the lover of Allah Ta'ala by fasting, but my real secret desire is to become the beloved of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala put this feature in there for us to become His beloved, that He will love us 70 times more for every fard. And if we do something that's not fard, غير fard, can mean sunnah muakkada, can mean sunnah غير muakkada, can mean nafil, taraweeh, anything that's not fard, not just nafil, any غير fard, if we do that in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us as if it was fard. The same massive love that He gives for a person when they do what He requires of them, He will give that same massive love to us that we even in this month if we do something that's optional. Why? Because this is not the month of fasting. Not just the month of fasting. This is the month of qurb. This is the month to draw near and close and be intimately near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another major feature Allah Ta'ala has put in this month of Ramadan, that is these last 10 days, which will start just in a few hours in Maghrib. One feature in this Allah Ta'ala put is the Sunnah Itikaf. Now understand what this is. This is that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he felt how much mercy, rahmah, how much barakah, blessings Allah Ta'ala was sending down in Ramadan. And he had hirs. He had an unquenchable thirst, yearning, longing for it. And it kept building up throughout the month. And then when it came to the last 10 days, Sayyidina Rasulullah he told Sahaba that now I, the Prophet, will leave every other work of Nabuwah, whether it is dawah, it is jihad, it is teaching you hadith from to the Ashab al-Sufa, I'm going to leave everything. And I'm going to live in the masjid for 10 days. And I'm going to do ibadat and zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And I'm going to remind you of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, so that we spend these 10 days soaking up and drowning and drenching in the qurb and rahmah Allah Ta'ala is giving. Because Ramadan is not just the month of fasting, it's the month of qurb and the month of wilaya. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he preferred what we call Arabic tarjih. He preferred sunnah itikaf to do sunnah itikaf in the last 10 days over every single other act of deen. This is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His own amal, his own practice, and his teaching to Sahaba Ikram that they should prefer it over everything else. So you should try to spend all 10 days in sunnah itikaf. If you can't spend all 10 days, then you should spend as much time as you can. As much time as you can, which means weekends, can mean nights. Those of you who work in any capacity as a laborer or in an office or in your shop or factory, whatever you do. Even we instituted something about 10 years, 8 years ago in Lahore. We told the men, okay, you sit with us in itikaf, you make niyat of nafil, and you go to work from the masjid. And what they did was that they would spend the entire weekend with us. Then they would just go Monday morning to work. They would come straight back to the masjid. They would operate out of the masjid. Then they would spend Monday night in the masjid. And they said that this changed their life. Why? Because they said that when we went to work that week, we felt like we were ripping ourselves away from the masjid. We were missing the masjid all day at work. We were remembering Allah Ta'ala all day at work. We worked with so much zikr that day, we never worked like that in our life. And they said that that was the biggest thing that continued after Ramadan. Because otherwise in Ramadan we change our schedule, we pray Taraweeh, but that doesn't continue after Ramadan. We read more Quran, that doesn't continue after Ramadan. But they said we changed the way we worked. Because we worked for 8-9 days, because they used to spend weekends with us, 7-8 days with so much zikr, that even after Ramadan, we went back to work, the way we worked was different for the rest of our life. Allahu Akbar. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in deen. That if you make niyyah of something, if your hope and desire was that you wanted to spend all 10 days, but you couldn't because you didn't get leave for whatever you do, but you did as much as you could. And you say, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I spend every drop, every minute, every second that I possibly can in the masjid. I only go out for pure necessity because I didn't get leave and I come right back when it's done. It's possible even Allah ta'ala can give such a person the reward and qurb and love for all 10 days at the kaf. This is the fazl of Allah ta'ala, yutihi man yasha. And last thing we'll mention to you for today, and if we continue this topic in Isha inshallah, is this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa akhiru itkum minan nar. Special feature of the last 10 days. People taken out from the fire of Jahannam. Yes, people who didn't pray all year, who were oppressing and hurting other people all year, who lied all year, who committed despicable, unspeakable sins all year. Not just all year, maybe for 10 years. Not just 10 years, maybe their whole lifetime. Somebody like that also shows up in Ramadan. Just 20 days, Allah says, 20 days I want you to pray and fast and have haya and have taqwa and leave sin. After 20 days, by the 21st day, I will erase a lifetime of your sins. And mean you should not think this is just for that person I described. Every one of us has in our book of deeds such unspeakable sins that if Allah Ta'ala chooses to look at that sin on the Day of Judgment, any and every one of us will be destined for the fire of Jahannam. We shouldn't think it applies to somebody else. And I'm the masjid crowd, I'm the masjid person, I'm the sunnah person. No, no, no. Every one of us has a deed like that. Because you know, on the Day of Judgment, for many people, this is what's going to happen. Allah Ta'ala is going to decide their entire akhirah based on just one deed. Famous hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that who is the first three people who will go to Jahannam? Mujahid, alim, and generous person. First three people who are going to go to Jahannam. Ya Allah. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala asked the Mujahid. He says, I did jihad. Allah Ta'ala said, for you. Allah Ta'ala says, yes, you did it for me, but you did it so you would be known as shaheed also. Faqad qeel. And you were remembered like that. So go straight to Jahannam. Ya Allah. Our akal would say, Ya Allah, cancel his amal of jihad. It should be null and void. Now look at the other things. Did he pray? Did he fast? Did he pay zakat? Was he a good person? Was he a good father? Was he a good husband? Decide on the other things. Atal says, no. I will just look at this one thing. One thing. That why did he not have absolute ikhlas in his jihad? He didn't have ikhlas. First put him in Jahannam. He will have to burn for that. Later I will look at the other things at some point and take him out. Just one thing Allah Ta'ala will look at. Now think that that Mujahid had one thing in his book of deeds, lack, not even zero, just lack of ikhlas, mixed niyyah. Now think how many lines me and you have. Huh? How many one-liners of sin we have in our book of deeds. That if Allah Ta'ala looks at any one of those one lines, we could also be destined for the fire of Jahannam. So we should feel it about ourselves, that we are the people who have this record. And in these last 10 days, we should, out of desperation, like the Mubtar, out of helpless and hopeless desperation to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, other people are oppressed by other people. We have oppressed our own nafs. Alladhina zalamu ala anfusihim. We are zalim and madloom. We are the greatest of oppressors because we have wronged our own self, spoiled our own iman, spoiled our own haya, and we haven't been able to get ourselves out of it. But Ya Allah, these 10 days we can use to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us out from that fire of Jahannam. So this is another feature Allah Ta'ala has put. So many features Allah Ta'ala has put in Ramadan, but we have to take it seriously. We have to go all out in these last 10 days. We have to be people of silence, people of worship, people of zikr, people of tawbah, people of dua. We have to make niyats, upgrade our sunnah, upgrade our ibadah, fix our quality of salah, try to feel Allah Ta'ala more salah. Anything and everything in deen. Listen to this sentence, it will be the last thing I will tell you now. Anything and everything in deen that you have ever heard about, from the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the lives of sahaba, to the lives of awliya and ulama, every feature, every attribute, iman, tawakkul, tahajjud, sabr, shukr, akhlaq, everything is ours for the taking in Ramadan. That is the power of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala puts it all within reach of everyone. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah Ta'ala increases the wasa in Ramadan. Everything is there for us. So we should take that attitude towards Ramadan. That should be the answer to the question, what are you doing Ramadan? Answer is not fasting. Answer is, I'm going to spend these last 10 days and get every single feeling and amal and action of deen entirely, once and for all, for the rest of my life. May Allah Ta'ala accept this niyat from us. May Allah Ta'ala make this year's Ramadan the best Ramadan of our life. May He make this year Ramadan one in which we don't just change our schedule, but once and for all we change our hearts and we change ourselves. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.